You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
I'm your host, Alicia Thomas. I am on here with one of my friends, one of my gorgeous, beautiful friends. She made her Broadway debut in Motown, the musical. She was in Sunset Boulevard on Broadway. She was so good. She slayed in Summer, the Donna Summer musical. She's also a little TV and film star, appearing in Pose, The Deuce, The Good Fight, and so many other things. She was also in the 2017 movie Detroit, and I'm so surprised that I haven't seen model listed anywhere on her resume, and that might be a misread because she is truly so stunning, gorgeous, and in addition to being so beautiful on the exterior, she's also beautiful on the interior. Y'all, please help me welcome my curl crush, Anissa Felix.
Thank you, Salisha. You are too kind.
Like, girl, it really is easy to when talking about you. I'm so happy to see you. How are you?
Girl, I'm good. I'm just chilling in here. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Yes.
It'd be like that.
I'm ready for the world to come back. I mean, if I'm being honest.
We need to get back into get the ball rolling again.
Yes. And you told me that you're in Brooklyn right now.
Yes, I'm in my little apartment in Brooklyn, and I've been missing everybody, y'all. I have only seen like one person this entire quarantine, and it's my fiance who I've been in the same apartment with for 10 months. So,
oh like, my gosh.
Hi, Sue.
That is – Hi, Anissa. That's awesome. But you know what, though? That's a blessing. That's a blessing that you had him to quarantine with. And the fact that the wedding is still on the calendar.
We have learned each other in a way that we would not have been able to learn each other if we weren't quarantined together. So
yes.
we passed through these like past 9 months, and I was like, okay, I still like you. This is good.
Right. I mean, but honestly, though, it's like this can be a very hard, difficult time. So for you to at least be with somebody who you're like, oh, I really do like you, even after all of this.
It's a test. It was a test, but we passed it, and we're doing really well. So
okay. And you guys haven't been going out at all?
No, I, at least for the first 4 months of quarantine, we did bunker style. Like we had ordered stuff from Costco. We have a meat freezer in our apartment, which is like so ugly, but it's come in handy. Like we were full on bunker style. Like,
wow,
we were washing our clothes in the bathtub, wringing it out and putting it in our backyard to dry.
So that you didn't have to go to the laundromat?
Exactly. Girl, we were like Little House on the Prairie, baking our own bread, you know.
Oh my gosh, wait, that's amazing.
It was a lot.
Have you been on the train at all?
I did it once, and then I was like, you know, I don't really feel comfortable. So I've just been walking everywhere and taking a Lyft And that's it. But
here and there. Yeah. No, so that is so real. And so I just got to California. I've been in New York most of the time, except I took a little break and came out here for the summer. Mm-hmm. And when I went back after the summer, I felt like I was the last one in the bunker and everybody else was like, hey, want to meet at this outdoor restaurant? Hey, want to meet for this? I'm like, wait. Are we back? Because I was still wearing my gloves.
Yeah, I don't
outside it's in the hard park.
Yeah, it's like hard to figure out, like we all have different levels of comfortability, so we have to like negotiate it beforehand, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, can I hug you when I see you? Can I like are we cool? Like what are we doing here, you know? Like what are your what are your like dislikes and likes? Like it definitely has to be like that.
One thing that I do love is that like I'm so used to kind of being like a people pleaser and doing things even if I don't really want to do things. And this pandemic has helped me to be like, actually, no, I'm not comfortable with that yet.
Good.
Actually, yeah. Like, and people understanding because they're like, oh, I get it. It's like, okay, it's okay for me to say no.
Like, oh, my boundaries are being respected. What?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I'm like, oh, let me take that into the real life when we come back from all this. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Okay. So Anissa, I want to get down to business because I specifically have asked you to come on here for a few reasons. You are amazing. You are beautiful. All these things. Yeah. I really love your curls. And selfishly, I just need to know. I need to know the process, how you get them looking so yummy and moisturized. I need to know all the things. So before we get into that, can you break down for me your hair journey? You can start from birth, from fifth grade, wherever. Like, what is your hair journey?
So my mom put a relaxer in my hair. I feel like this is like a pretty universal story. But my mom started out with a texturizer, the Just For Me pack, the no lie Just For Me with the girl, like without the two front teeth on the box. And she's sitting there with her hair coiffed. And so I started with that, and my mom had relaxed my hair or had it done like at a salon almost every 6 weeks on the dot. Like there was very little, like I didn't even know what my hair actually looked like until I went to college in my freshman year of college. So before that, my hair was like relaxed. It was like down to the middle of my back. It was like straight, but it wasn't, it wasn't particularly shiny or healthy looking, or like I remember like my hair like itching, my scalp scratching a lot, itching a lot because of the chemicals. Like we didn't know back then, we thought that was just life, you know. And then I went to college at the University of Mary Washington, and not only was I one of the few students of color, but like I was one of the few Black girls just in general. And it was like a primarily like white area. It was in Fredericksburg, Virginia. So it's like very not diverse at all. And I took a swim class, and because I had to fulfill like a fitness course credit. So I was like, oh, I'll do the swim class because I don't feel like running, because I only run if I'm being chased. And I don't feel like weightlifting because I don't know how to do that. So I'll just swim, I guess. And I bought a swim cap because I was told like, oh, that's going to protect your hair from the chlorine. So I would just like tie my hair up, put it in a swim cap. And then I noticed that like the point of a swim cap isn't actually to protect your hair from water. It's actually just meant to make you more hydrodynamic, like in the water. So like you'll get – your hair will still get wet, which I had no idea. So the chemicals from the pool mixed with the relaxer – constantly every week for like a semester messed up my hair so badly. So when I came home for break, I went to the salon and I was like, you know what? Just cut it all off. And this was like 2009, I think. It was in 2009. And I remember my hairstylist was like, are you sure? So she like cut it in a ponytail first. And so it was like a bob. And she's like, I can stop here. Like, you don't have to cut it all off. Like, I can stop here. I was like, no, I want it off. I want it fresh. I want it new. So she was like, okay. And she cut it off. And then she handed me the ponytail and it looked like a dead rat. And I was like, that was on my head? What was I doing? So I went from like my hair down to the middle of my back to like a short, like almost a buzz cut. Like they used
wow.
the clippers in the back. Like it was short, short. And it, you know, it was cute. Like it was really cute. I was like, oh, okay. And I remember going to I had to drive two counties over to go to Target because that there was that specific Target was the only one that carried Carol's Daughter. And it was the only product in that area that had anything that was for natural hair. So I had to literally drive like 40 minutes to get this product.
The other Targets didn't have?
No, girl. This is before even like Pantene Pro-V had like that relaxed hair thing, natural. They didn't even have that back then. Like we
wow.
in nowhere too. So it was hard to like find anything. And then ever since then, I've just been like growing it out and getting it trimmed and learning how to like style it. And now I feel like I used to only exclusively just wear it out in a wash and go. Now I have like, you know, some clip-in stuff that I play with. I, you know, do lots of updos. I feel more comfortable to blow it out sometimes or, you know, do low heat styles. So that's yeah. kind of been my journey. But it's
wow.
been trial and error, lots of learning.
Okay. So. And yeah, so I'm in that lots of learning mode right now of mm-hmm. like I have my little head wrap on right now, but mm-hmm. underneath I have cornrows. I did my mm-hmm. cornrows for the first time a couple wow. nights ago. I did them myself, Anissa. They look wow. so bad. They look bad, but like they're attached to my head. I did it.
That's a cornrow. That's a cornrow.
Right. You know, next step, I'm going to do some crochet passion twists Ooh. In the cornrows.
Oh, wow. She's advanced.
Okay, girl, well, I don't know.
I don't braid. I admire anybody that can braid their own head of hair. Like, especially, like, if you could braid other people's hair, like, amazing. But if you could braid your own hair, you're so far superior. Like, I don't know.
Oh, one day I will learn. I mean, I have something in my head that resembles cornrows, but they're not cute at all. But okay, one of the first things I want to know is how did you have the courage to just be like, cut it off, cut it off, especially when you've had long hair for most of your life? Where did that courage, confidence come from?
You know, I didn't really have much of a say in how I wanted to style my hair growing up. Like, I wasn't even really allowed to have my hair out, like no like front braids or anything. Like my mom would make me like braid the front half of my hair and then put like those butterfly clips and then have yes. it relaxed straight with a flip out. It was like definitely
bumpy. I mean, it sounds cute.
I mean, it's cute like now that it's coming back and it's like Instagram cute, but like it wasn't cute back then because I felt like too grown for it. But I never really had like agency of my like how I styled my hair. So when I got to college, it was less of like a I don't like my hair and more of a wow, it's damaged. Like it just there was no saving it because the chlorine just messed it up. So I was like, you know what? Just cut it off. I'm in college. I can experiment. I could do whatever I want. Nothing matters until I graduate anyway. So let's just do it now. So by the time I graduate in 4 years, you know, my hair will be like long and grown. And in 4 years, it wasn't long and grown. It took like 8 years. It took like 8 years to get long-ish.
Wow.
But
what? Okay, so the curls that I've seen you rocking these days, they look so healthy. Even though you like go in between straightening it every now and then, and your hair looks great when you straighten it as well. Love these updos. You're giving me so many like girlfriends, the show with you're giving me Tracy vibes when she goes from curly hair to like she's in the office with an updo, like those are the vibes that you give me. What? I know that you said you were experimenting. How did you, like, when did you, like, grasp on to, okay, this is what works for my hair? Do you know what I'm?
You know, I don't even think at the time. It was so long ago. That was, what, 11 years ago? I think I just I just was kind of like, I don't feel like combing it. It was my first time like on my own, you know, like my mom spent so much money sending me to a hair salon to get my hair retouched every few weeks. And when I'm in college, I was like, I don't want to deal with that. Plus, there are no black hair salons here. So I'm not going to go drive all the way back home to get my hair done. So it wasn't as much of a, I think I had my journey after I cut it, not before I did it. I don't think I put that much thought into cutting it off. I think I didn't really consider what the implications of my hair previously were until I cut it. And then I was like, oh, I'm being treated differently. Oh, my family members, some of them don't like this. Oh, I'm attracting a different type of person. Interesting. All of these things I just didn't even like think about until after the cut.
Wow.
Like change. I was like, oh, I didn't realize. And then I didn't even hear about the term big chop until like years later. I was like, oh, that's what I did
that.
Yeah. And I just never put two and two together because it was just hair at that point, you know? But
wow.
I didn't understand like the true import of black hair until after I cut it.
Okay. And you touched on something that I think is just, I just want to like bring it to attention because those who are listening, like this is a thing. And I want to know your experience. You said you cut it and you were being treated differently. How so?
I actually felt like I had, like, part of it was how I perceived myself because I didn't realize after I cut it, because the decision was relatively like a flippant decision. Like, I just made it off the cuff. And then I realized that, like, a lot of people were like, wow, but you were so pretty before. Like, why would you do that? But also other people were like, wow, that looks really beautiful. So it was like definitely like opposing sides. Like I felt like a lot of like older black people in Virginia, which is where I'm from, a lot of older black people didn't understand why I would cut my hair off. And they thought that like I ruined the one thing that makes me feminine. And they were like, how could you do that? Granted, this was 2009. So like we weren't seeing very many people natural, right? And then like other people were, you know, hadn't seen very many black people in general in Fredericksburg, but also a black girl whose hair was cropped short. And they're like, wow, that's so brave. That's so artsy. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then I remember having like somebody telling me like a family member saying like, oh, you know, if you're going to be an actor, you kind of just like ruined your career because nobody's going to want to hire somebody that has like kinky, nappy hair like that. And I was like, sir,
wow,
sir. But now you go out, everybody, all so many black girls, so many like Latina people have their hair, like even, you know, curly white girls, everybody's like embracing their curly hair now or their natural hair. So to go 11 years ago when it was like, girl, why'd you do that? That's so dumb. To now where it was like, oh yeah, you're just being you. So I've seen like a huge progression.
I just like, I'm so intrigued and amazed by you because it takes a level of confidence of like, feelings, it takes a level of security or something to do something that is so against the grain. And at least at that time when not a lot of people were doing that, and for you to do it, and even though you didn't, like you said, you didn't really put that much thought into it, but you still did it and you lived it and you're like, yeah, we're doing this. I just, that it, and the thing is like, I kind of wish that it wasn't seen as brave. I wish, and I think that now maybe it's like, okay, this is a thing, like it's more normalized. But definitely from, you said 09, that is a very brave thing to do when everybody else has straight hair and is telling you that curls are not it. So
yeah,
I'm inspired by like that confidence early on before it was on trend.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting is there was a Black Student Association on campus and it was six of us. And half of us, so three of us, actually cut our hair around the same time. I had a friend named Raven, and she had like straight hair, but it like relaxed hair, but it was like damaged. And she was like, girl, it looks so cute on you. I'm going to do it. And then she cut it. And then we were both like the two black girls on campus with like these short crop cuts. People were getting us confused. We don't look anything alike, but people were getting us confused. And then there was another girl who cut her hair off. She went natural too. And so it was like three or four of us were walking around campus, like big chop, you know, all together. And that was really cool.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. And I would feel like, okay, at least I've got my girl club. Yeah. Like,
we'll be right back right after the break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Okay, and so now I want to know, can you take me through, because you have nailed the wash and go. Can you walk me through your wash and go process?
Yes. Well, I have to say that it has been trial and error and lots of different products, lots of money spent on products. But here's what I do now. I use almost exclusively Jane Carter Solutions. Can I say brand names on here?
Yes. In fact, I'm writing them down because I have not heard anybody talk about Jane Carter yet.
Okay. I love Jane Carter because it's black owned. It's pretty inexpensive and the stuff just works and it smells great. Like, you don't feel like, you know, the product is so thin that it like you put it in your hair and it just like disappears. Like, you can actually like, I like to feel my product. I like to have like a heavy cream because it kind of like weighs down the curls and everything. So I will wash my hair, my scalp with their, it's like a creamy scalp wash shampoo. And then when I don't have their co-wash, I'll also use, what's it called? Organics or OGNX, I think it's called, if I don't have access to Jane Carter. Sometimes Jane Carter runs out. But I'll use that and I'll like, yeah, Organics, and they have like a curl line. But I prefer Jane Carter's, but I do use Organics occasionally. But yeah, so I use their co-wash in there and I just like, you know, massage it in, and I might just let it sit while I do all my other things like face, wash my face, shave my legs, whatever, and then I'll wash it out. And then I'll like gently towel dry it. And then she has like this leave-in spray that I will spray in there, saturate my hair, like pin it up, like I'll pin up my hair and just let it sit for like 10, 15 minutes. And then I have like this detangling paddle brush. It's not really a paddle brush. It's a one of those like black brushes with like a clear teeth.
Is it a Denman brush?
It's not a Denman brush. It's probably like a knockoff of some kind of Denman
brush. Okay.
Because I don't got Denman brush money. Come on.
It's like $7.
No, the real Denman brush is like $200, isn't it?
Wait. What? I bought the wrong one.
The official Denman brush is like $200. They have it at the back of the hair salon place where you have to go and you have to tell them and they have to use a key to open it.
Wait. So what is my little $7 brush that says Denman on it? Somebody just made that up?
Maybe I'm confused.
I've been so excited. I'm like, you guys, I got the Denman brush. I'm using it. You're like, that is the knockoff.
I just used like this little cheapy something, but I thought it was $200 or something. I might be mistaken.
Shoot.
Nobody listen to me. Don't listen to me. I'm not.
No, y'all listen to Anissa. Don't listen to me. Go on. But, go on.
But yeah, so I detangle my hair in sections while it's still wet. And I do the ends first and then you get to the root. Then I get the Moore Jane Carter solution. It's like a thick styling cream, right? And I shingle my hair. So that means like I'll stretch my hair out with my hand. And with my other hand, I like put product on the hand. And then I use my fingers to kind of like rake it. Like, you know, like rake the product in. So you're getting like a few curls at a time and you define the curls that way. So you do that with your whole head. And then I let it air dry for like 10-ish minutes or so that the product absorbs. And then I have a diffuser on my blow dryer. And I like flip my head over and I pull the curls and use the diffuser on the roots first and then on the middle and ends of the hair. And I just flip my head and I do it from back to front. So from the back of my head to the front of my head. And then I flip my head back up and then I'll do like all the center and everything like that. And because I actually have a diva cut, it falls into place without me having to do much, you know, like zhuzhing of it. You know, so I kind of do that and I like to shake my hair. I like to like do like at the end after my roots and everything are dry, I take the diffuser off and I literally just do like a quick pass around my hair of just the naked blow dryer so that it kind of gives it some body. But I always find the hair just looks much better on day two. Like you're going to have maximum volume, maximum like lusciousness on day two.
Yes, I absolutely agree. I actually like day three hair myself. But okay, so that is bomb. So I heard you, I hear you. And Jane Carter, that is, you like, do you like love all the products in their line?
Hands down, all of their products. Like sponsor me, y'all, Jane Carter Solutions. I for real love them. They're so good.
How have I not heard anybody else talking about Jane Carter at all? All, not one. You're the first person and your curls are bomb. Yes. Like I am going to try it after this.
It's definitely worth it. And it's not that expensive either. Cause I used to pay when I was on that Broadway contract,
honey.
I used to pay money. And now I'm like, this is crazy. Why am I spending $120 for a full set when I can pay $50 for a full set?
Wow. And can, like, Jane Carter, is that like Target? Can you get that at Target or is that online?
No, you can get it at Target.
We love a Target, honey. I love a Target. Like, I love their little section, that little black section, honey. You get everything you need.
I love it. Oh, good. I love it.
I have another question about one of your other looks. Mm-hmm. And that is, you have this other look that is like, it's feathered is not the word. I feel like that is more like a Farrah Fawcett, and that's not what I'm talking about. But like you've got like, it's more, I don't know if it's blown out or if you did like a Bantu knot. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's not like the natural curl pattern. It's what?
It's not like straight. It's like blown out.
Yeah, it's still very textured and it's big. Do you know what look I'm talking about? How do you get that like more glam? I don't know.
I blow dry it out with a comb attachment. And then I have a wand curler. And I literally just do it in sections. And I do like every other one. So like one section, I'll curl it inwards. The other section, I'll curl it outwards. And then that's it. And like I'll leave that in my hair for like 2 weeks even. Sometimes it's gone in the wintertime. So
really?
It's like, yeah. And then I don't really like to add heat to my hair like a lot, but that's one style where if I do it like that, it's going to last for 2 weeks. So then I won't.
And it's not like you're doing it bone straight.
No. I've done it before, but
I mean, for that look, though, I think it really is beautiful. It's like not too much heat. You're not doing it bone straight. Even if you were, that is nice too. But and it's got volume. So,
yes.
Okay. Next yeah. question. Mm-hmm. And it might change. So you can tell me your favorite one. Uh-huh. What's your favorite wig prep when you're wigged in a show?
Oh, man. That is – oh, wow. I am so bad at wig prep. I'm so bad.
What?
So I learned originally at Motown. I've had like a combined – like the cast had a combined like Broadway credits of like 100 and something credits between like everybody. Everybody showed me their version of a wig prep. And none of them, my hair just said, nope. Like I can try and get it as flat as possible. And I still have like a good 2.5 inches of hair above my head.
Come on.
Crazy girl. So I ended up just, I started doing the pin curls and I was like, this is too much work. So then I ended up doing like 2 very messy, not quite French braids. And then I just like do it, part it in the middle, do the 2 braids and then like twist the remaining hair around. And it just was not it for me because then when I would take it out, it would ruin my curl pattern. And I just didn't like my hair when I was doing
the show. Did you find a wig prep that like you can walk out the stage door and have your hair out that you liked ever?
No. Okay. Here's why though, Alicia, because sometimes I was running late. Sometimes I was running late for curtain. And I was like, I care more about my makeup looking on point. So I would spend
a lot
of time on my makeup. And then I would be like, oh, shoot, it's almost my wig time. My wig time. And I'd be like, okay, here, I do this thing. And so, like, I would literally, like, it would look so busted under there. And then when I would take it out, like, if we had to go out after, I'd be like, well, I guess I'm putting it in a bun. Like, I just didn't have a solution for that.
Got it. Okay. All right. And I'm investigating. I'm like, I'm going to create some spreadsheet or something of everybody's like, okay, we're going to use Anissa's Jane Cart. Like, okay, we've got this. This is a good wash and go routine. Maybe not her wig prep. We'll use somebody. We're going to have a good old database.
Prep, girl, you do not want my wig prep. It just wasn't it. You know what it was? I couldn't revive my curls afterwards. Well,
yeah,
because I braided them so sloppily. Because like I
know, I know what you mean. Braided. You know what I would do sometimes for my – I would do a twist out. And if I really wanted to – it doesn't always come out looking bomb after the show, but so I mean like it's something. Like if I did a twist out.
No, I remember seeing you after a show. You had cute hair after the shows. I saw you at Broadway Bowling. Yes, you were looking cute.
I mean, did I have a wig on?
Okay. I see it. That was a smooth transition, though. I couldn't tell it was a wig.
Honey, I flopped that thing on my head so quick, like a baseball hat.
We're going to cut for a short ad break.
Can I ask you a simple question? And it might sound so dumb. It might be the most elementary ask question I've ever asked. Uh-huh. How you slick back your bun?
Oh, you got to do that while it's wet. That thing has to be saturated. I have never had a dry bun in my life. It's wet. Yeah.
You have to have it wet and put like gel in the front. I never can get it all laid down. What is the secret?
Do you get the waves when you brush it?
Yeah.
It's just going to happen, girl. That's just what what it is. Because I have the waves too, but you know why? I never do a straight bun that goes back. I always do a parted bun. So then you can get the tension when you like brush it down and you put it in the ponytail. You have the tension that's on both sides. So it keeps it pretty close to the head. And then I'll put a gel in there to do the base. And then I'll do my edge control. And then while it's wet, after I finish styling it, I put my scarf on. Like I tie and I'll let it sit for however long it needs to sit till it dries. And even still, like my curls are pervasive. They're here to stay. So they'll right? still come out, you know, but I've just made peace with it. But there's always going to be like, you know, like a wave pattern in there. It's never going to be like straight, slick. You know what I mean? But I made peace yeah. with that. I like that, you know?
Okay. All okay. right. I'm like, and I'm always cutting bangs. And so sometimes it like sticks out a little bit.
Edge control. That's the best option.
Edge control. Mm-hmm. Edge control, not just on the edges is what you're saying.
Yeah, no, you do it. You do it like all here. Oh, you can't see. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
You do it like as like about an inch into your hairline. And that's where all my flyaways are.
Okay.
Part it. That's gonna
folks. Mm-hmm. I am excited because I have never thought of using edge control anywhere else but on my edges. This is a breakthrough. Okay. This is very exciting. Thank you. I'm gonna be rocking a bun. I'm gonna get me a good bun. I'm gonna tag you in this. So you can be like, I'm gonna tag you in this. Oh, because I taught her how to do that. That's why she tagged me in this. Hey. Okay, I'm gonna let you go soon, but I just have a couple more things. Oh, I want to know. So you've done 3 Broadway shows. Any more, maybe more than that I know of, but I know you for sure done 3 and you've done some TV and film.
Mm-hmm.
When you are working, whether it's, and this question might be more for when you are gigging for TV, film, or galas or something, but maybe Broadway as well.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel when you have to show up to hair and makeup?
So I have done my own hair for quite a lot of my TV gigs. However, I asked to do it. So I asked to do it sometimes, especially if they say, oh, come with your hair like how you had it in the audition. I know I'm going to get exactly what they want. And also, it also depends who's like behind the chair. If there is a fellow Black lady, you know, I'm like, you go, girl, you do you. And a lot of the times, the hair rooms that I've been in have been a lot of Black women.
Really?
Black men. Yes.
This is TV. Good. That's good.
On TV, actually, yeah. But when there isn't one, and they don't need a specific style in particular, I'm like, oh, I could do it. Or I'll ask, you know, like for TV mostly, I'll be like, I'll ask the costume designer, hey, do you want me to just come in with my hair prepped? And they'll be like, yeah. I'll be like, great. And that's kind of like the questions I ask so that I make sure that I'm taken care of because I'm not like the lead of these shows, right? So they're
you
not-
You don't want to go on stage looking crazy.
Exactly. And they're not going to be like putting that much attention into all of my details. So if I could take care of it, I could take care of it. Should it be like that? No.
That's the thing. So I'm like, and I'm listening to you and it's one of the most lovable things about you is that your attitude about life and it's such a positive outlook and it's such a positive attitude. And please, like, I'm always all for that. On the other side of the coin is you're doing something that should be somebody else's job. And why? Because you're probably not comfortable. I mean,
yeah.
Because
if I'm working that hard to book a role and I'm going to be on national TV, I don't want to look crazy because I've done things where like I've even had my own makeup like not match. I've had people put shades that were just not my skin tone. And at that point, I didn't feel like I could say anything, you know? And like for hair, it's a little bit different because sometimes I'll ask, you know, like they'll be more flexible with me like saying like, oh, I can do my own hair. And so they let that be. But I usually, you know, wait until I get into the trailer and I'm like, okay, I feel comfortable with that person doing my hair or I don't. But it shouldn't be like that, you know, because, you know, if people with naturally straight hair can walk into any trailer and they'll be like, oh, yeah, that person's going to do fine, you know, with my hair.
You know what I've started to notice?
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching so many old school TV shows, Girlfriend, Sister, mm-hmm. The Game. And I've started to look at the other than the leads, the black people in the shows and how their hair is. And it's just something like you, and sometimes they look fine and good, but it, a lot of times I'm like, they didn't know what to do.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of the times too, like on TV now, they use wigs just as much as we do on Broadway. And a lot of the times, like the wigs are being made specifically for the individual actor's head, but it still doesn't look right. And I'm like, y'all couldn't capture like black hair in a wig. Like y'all couldn't get the essence of what it was supposed to be. You know, like who's behind the table? Who's making the decisions on this?
Exactly. You know? My dream is just for us to be able to feel comfortable. If we were told, show up to hair and makeup at 5 a.m., I don't have to get my hair done at 3 a.m. before I walk into the gig. I don't have to spend all morning doing my own hair. I would like to be able to walk in and actually sit down in the chair and know that I'm going to be looking okay when it's time for my, when it's my turn. Exactly. That is the dream. And I think we've gotten most of the things that I wanted to get to. And I'm just like, I'm so grateful for you and for coming on, for you coming on here and like hanging out with me. This is one of my favorite things about the pandemic is just like having a moment to see friends who I haven't talked to in a while. And just, I feel like I can't wait for us to all be back together again and seeing each other's shows. Like, what was the last show I saw you in? Was it Summer? And it just felt like I miss being able to support each other in person.
What a simpler time. Now the things that we crave that we just like took, we really took for granted, just being around people we love and care about.
Going
and
to restaurants.
Goodness gracious.
Like took for granted things that like I thought would always be normal.
Like I just want to like hug my grandma. Like, you know, simple things. But yeah. The time is going to come where we are going to be healthy again and we're going to be able to go out and see each other and love on each other. And I am just so looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. Before I let you go, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, what are you grateful for today?
I am so grateful for my circle of friends that have been checking in on me and keeping in touch with me through this just really crazy, difficult time. But I am moored and I am centered by my friends and my family. And man, that's something to be grateful for. This Thanksgiving, I am so grateful for my people.
Wow. Yeah. Amen. All right. I love you. I love your beautiful face.
Thank you so much, Alicia. I was so looking forward to this.
I'm so glad it worked out. Thank you so much for being flexible. And I'm so excited about for you and your fiance. I can't wait for those pictures from the – I cannot wait. I'm going to be zooming in on everything. I'll be like, oh, she's so beautiful. She's so beautiful. Oh, I cannot wait. Like, and when it comes to wedding things, you can never – to me, you can never post too much. I am here for it. So
I'm going to be obnoxious with these photos. What you mean?
Yes. Please. I'm like, oh, I need to see the dress from every angle. I need to see the hair. I need to see the makeup. Like what flowers? What was the bouquet? Please, everything. So I'm so happy for you. Thank you for spending this time for me. You are such a blessing.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
All right. I'll see you later, girl.
Bye.
Anissa Felix is a whole vibe. She's a whole mood. She is a goddess incarnated. Am I saying that right? Well, you know what? All of it, she's all of that and more. Oh my goodness. And let's talk about some juicy, beautiful curls. Like, I'm a fan, honored to be a friend. Like, let's freaking go. Follow her on Instagram @AnissaFelix. Go to her website and stalk the crap out of her at
www.anissafelix.com. Girlfriend, thank you for joining me. I have so much love for you. Boom, ba, boom, baby. Shout out to the Broadway Podcast Network. Shout out to Wilton Music for producing this theme song. Love COD. The full thing is on iTunes. And I think Spotify, sung by me, honey. Shout out to Colin, my intern, for editing this episode. Colin, you know I love you, baby. And also, yeah, thank you guys for listening. If you haven't already, subscribe, share, tell a friend, write me a note on Instagram at Salisha Thomas. Slip into those DMs, honey. And I try my best to read everything. So just, honey, drop me a note. And all the things. Oh, this is Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas, and I'll see you next week. Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.